This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, it's FUBAR Radio. I'm Lizzie Cundy and I'm flying solo tonight, so I'm so glad you're with me because our lovely Stephen isn't with us again. So I'm on my own, darlings, but I'm in great company because I've got you guys and some of the most fantastic guests. Can you believe we've got Anne Whittacombe straight from Celebrity Big Brother and the House of Parliament? I mean, there are some questions I want to ask that woman and I'm not going to beat around the bush. We come from total opposites. But I don't really agree with anything she says or really campaigns for. But you know what? We might get on. We might be friends. Who knows? She might want to borrow one of my outfits. You never know. You never know. And also we've got Larissa Eddy, yeah, the wonderful singer, talking about her new BBC One show, All Together Now. And we've got Daniel Wheeler. Now, if you're into personal fitness, and I am needing to have a good body this... I tell you what, there's some secrets I'm going to tell you tonight, so keep tuned in. But my body's got to be in fine shape. So we've got Daniel Wheeler. So anything you want to ask him, please tweet in and give me a little message. Now, we've got some fine tracks. What are we going to play up first? What have we got? Bruno Mars? A bit of Bruno Mars. Why not? Let's do it.
Drop top Porsche, rolling on my my wrist. Diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B, straight stunning, can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. You see me? It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass got all them boys cooked. Run from dollar bills and I be popping rubber bands. Bruno Sands tell me while I do my money dance. Like, hey. Flexing on the gram like, hey. Hit the Lil Jon, okay. 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 Oh yeah, we dripping the finesse and getting paid.
You're the only one I wanna love. Oh yeah. it really just for show? Yeah. She said, save your apologies. Baby, I just gotta know. How long has this been going on? You've been creeping up on me. Are you calling me?
A bit of Charlie. I'm talking about the Pooth, of course. Hit that is an amazing song. Do you know what? I do a little moonwalk to that. Did you know that? Did you know I'm very talented? Well, you know what? It was Valentine's yesterday, and I actually got two cards and a big parcel, and I didn't know who they were from. And do you want to know who they're from? Do you like the guessing game? Is that what Valentine's all about? Tell me. But I was very chuffed that someone thought about me. I'm wearing red, actually. I know you can't see me, but I'm in red. All romantic. Well, we are very excited because we've got Larissa Eddy. She's in the studio. She's making her way up those stairs to the FUBA room. But I have to say, I've done a very saucy shoot today that you're going to be seeing. I think it's out. I think it's the front cover. Closer magazine. Ooh, what's it about? I hear you say. Well, it's going to be great. I can't wait for you all to see it. And I'm going to be talking about it all next week because I've got loads of exciting news and I'm really very excited. But I want to know what you got up to last night. I want to know the ins and outs of it, if you know what I mean. Now, was it a nice restaurant? How did you get a table on Valentine's? Can I say, how Justin Bieber was out on a date. I don't know if you saw it. He had the front table, front spot. Do you think he was organised and booked 2 weeks before? Or did he ring up and go, oi, it's Bieber here. I want a table. Get me the table. We won't stay long. Just starters. I mean, how do you get a table on Valentine's? It is so hard. Anyway, I want to know all what you were up to and what sort of presents you got. Was there anything a bit of sort of novelty, surprises? Did we get sick of flowers and chocolates? My friend actually got an electric toothbrush. Now, that is awful. I don't think I'd be too happy if I got that electric toothbrush for a Valentine's present. I mean, what is that about? I got some wonderful flowers. And my boy sent me two cards as well. So at least I know they love me, truly. But I did get a few surprises. But I do kind of, it makes me guess, thinking, who's that? And one just had my name on, so I thought they know where I live. Unless it's a postman. I don't know. It's so exciting. I can't wait. I can't wait till next year. Now, we have got a track which is especially about me. It's Material Girl, Madonna.
Some boys
material girl. That's me. And it's also a bit of Larissa Eddy, who's in the studio. Hello, Larissa.
Hello.
How wonderful to see you.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you too.
I know. Well, you've been doing so much since I last saw you, and you're in FUBA. Now, tell us all about this wonderful BBC One show, It All Together Now.
Yeah, so I am one of the judges.
Yes.
On It All Together Now, alongside the lovely Jerry Halliwell.
How amazing.
Well, Jerry Horner now.
Jerry Horner.
Yes.
Yes, and it's Rob Beckett, isn't it,
the comedian? Rob Beckett, yeah.
And tell us a bit, if anyone hasn't seen the show, what's the concept?
Okay, so it's a brand new BBC One entertainment show. So I guess it's kind of their answer to The Voice, which went to ITV. But yeah, it's a brand new concept. You've got 100 judges. So we are representing the general public. So it's myself and a panel of musical experts, or everyone, you know.
And how does it come about? I mean, how did you hear about it and did you have to audition?
Actually got approached just directly from social media.
Yeah.
Through a researcher. And I then had to go for a filmed kind of audition, which luckily they love me, and you know they're looking for big personalities as well as musical expertise. So it was kind of just up my street, and I thought, get me in. I couldn't wait.
So the aim of the competition is the panel singing along to the performance? And if you're singing along, that gives you the thumbs up.
So we basically each have our own little box and our own little buzzer, which is quite exciting. We are representing the general public, but a well-informed general public. The contestant will come out, start to sing, and after about 30 seconds, if we like what we hear, we can stand up, buzz, our box lights up, and then we sing along with them. And the higher the number of judges they get singing along with them, the higher the score they get, which means two from each show goes through to the final. Yeah.
But is it difficult, say if someone isn't so good, do you feel bad there thinking, I really am not quite enjoying this performance?
A little bit, yeah, because I like to give everyone a chance, and I believe that everyone, you know, should have their fair share of encouragement and their chance.
Well, you've been there yourself.
Exactly.
Everyone knows you as this amazing singer, but
thank you.
Starting out, going through that audition process is nerve-wracking.
I totally felt everything they were going through, every emotion. You do get we have got our kind of characters on the panel that have kind of take the Simon Cowell role. But for me, you know, I was kind of really fair with everybody, but I was really impressed with the standard of talent. It was really high. So our decisions quite difficult.
But where has the talent come from? Where have they found this talent? And are they all wanting to go on to be pop stars, or is it musical theatre? Is it a mix?
It's a complete mix. You've got opera singers, you've got pop singers, you've got jazz singers. And I think it was an open audition. That they could come along to an audition. And not all of them are looking to be in the music industry. That's how the show differs in a way to any other kind of show out there at the moment, where there's no promise of a record deal. It literally is a £50,000 cash prize for the winner.
How pleasant.
It's an amazing,
that would be nice, wouldn't
amazing,
it?
Yeah, just amazing sum of money. But, you know, there's no promise of a record deal or making the winner a star.
What are the other because you've got quite a bit, it's 100 on the panel, is that
there
correct?
Is, yeah.
That is a big old panel. And what
there's
are the
personalities?
So I bet it's a mixture of all different personalities and characters. How do you all mix and get on? Is there any bickering or spats?
Not really. I mean, there was obviously mixed opinions.
Right.
And people would disagree. You know, sometimes I couldn't believe someone stayed sitting for an act that I thought was amazing, or vice versa. So, you've got that. But actually, off screen, we've got like a big WhatsApp group, and we're actually really good friends. So
I love that.
We've kind of created this like 100 family, which is amazing.
You've got a nice little, all together. We're all together family.
We are.
And we've got to ask, what's Jerry like? Because obviously the Spice Girls are coming back.
Yes, I know. That's like music to my ears, literally.
It's incredible. I think it is to their ears because they're getting a fortune for it. Jerry was always my favourite. That Union Jack dress. Yeah. But she's such a sweet girl, isn't she?
She is amazing. And growing up, I was like the biggest Spice Girl fan ever. Like literally ever. It was my kind of era, you know, in my teenage years. I was like, so working with a Spice Girl is like literally a dream come true.
And how was she off camera with you all? Do you get to
see
her much?
Yeah, she did hang out actually, and she it was her job to kind of unite all of us and You know, I know that she said the show is just, she wants, you know, to touch everyone's hearts and warm everyone on Saturday night, you know, and yeah, it's just about bringing people together, and that's exactly what she did with
us.
I
love this show.
Yeah, it's just feel good, you know. It's, there's no sob stories, there's no harsh criticism, really, you know. It's just really feel good.
But what happens at the end, if has there been one where no one has sung along and it's been really like,
No, I mean, there's been very low scores where it is a little bit awkward and we're all kind of sitting there like, oh, because they can see us as well, sitting in the boxes, we're directly in front of them.
Wow.
So there are times when I did feel really sorry for the contestant. But in general, the standard was really high, so
it's been okay.
It was really,
and you're so kind, Larissa.
Oh, thanks.
She was such a sweetheart. Now, tell us, because you have been doing so, I mean, I've seen you at various events, but
of course
you have the voice of an angel.
Oh, thank you.
You're a very talented girl in your own right. Now, musically, what's happening with your own music?
So I actually have some new music coming out. I've got a video coming out within the next week. So it's very exciting. So, yeah, since doing the show, I've been really busy.
Fantastic.
And I thought this is the time to finally get something out. Because I've just been working behind the scenes, and then you know how it is. I don't know, things always crop up and
because
it kind of gets...
You've been so... You've been with Lionel Richie, weren't you? The backing singer with Lionel Richie, was it?
I supported him.
Supported Lionel Richie.
I opened the show with him.
I'll open the show. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you've done so many amazing things. So this now
Thank
is
you.
Your chance to launch.
And, you know, with the show as well, it's just an amazing time, I thought. Let's just get it out. So I co-wrote it with my brothers, and it's called Where I Belong, and hopefully that's going to be out within the next week, which
well,
is very exciting.
Well, I think, have we got a little bit of this? No, we haven't. We want to hear it, though, Larissa. We need to hear this.
Yes.
You'll have to give us a little number. A cappella. Can you do a little something for us? I love it.
Maybe a bit later.
Yeah, maybe a bit later. Have a couple of wines, and we'll be singing away.
Absolutely.
So it's with your brothers. Is it going to be like a family? Not like the Osmonds, but is it like a family thing?
I do have three of my brothers in my band, and even my little sister sings as well. So we are quite a musical family. But we've always written together and perform together, and that's what we love to do, so it just comes naturally to us, and we thought, well, you know, what a better time to actually
to do
it
than
now.
Yeah. How fantastic. And how did you start off in this business, because you're Brighton based, aren't you?
That's right.
And how did you start off in this world? Did you always know you wanted to be a singer?
I mean, at school, you know, you get into plays and kind of talent shows and stuff, so I knew I kind of wanted to be singing, but it actually happened when my mum saw something on the TV. Ronan Keating was advertising this new school that was opening in Brighton called BIM, and I kind of applied for there. So straight from school I went to BIM, and the rest is history, really. I kind of got into bands and started networking.
Because people, you know, listening probably on the show want to get into singing.
Yes.
And what would you say? Because it is a hard... I know it's really
it's
cutthroat
so tough.
And tough.
Yeah, and it's constant work, you know. There's no let-up, really. You have to just believe in yourself 100%. But yeah, I would say pursue a dream. You know, if it's in your blood and you really want to do it, then go for it. But be prepared for the knockbacks, and you've got to have a bit of a thick skin.
I mean, do you think you grow from the knockbacks? Because everyone says, "Oh my God, how do you?" But are you able to flick it off and carry on, or is it sometimes you think, "Oh gosh, I you know,
I
try something else?"
Yeah, I think if you can't pin your hopes on one thing.
No,
I think you need a lot of things going on to keep yourself busy and to concentrate on. But yeah, I think if it, as I said, like if it's in your blood, then you will just continue to do it.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think
Well, we love you here at FUBAR.
Thank
and
you.
And the show is on Saturday night.
Saturday night, 7:15, BBC One. So prime time.
We're loving that prime time, Larissa.
Yay.
I love it, and I love the dress you're wearing.
Thank you.
Is that the dress in the show? I love this dress.
And there is a similar dress I'm wearing, which is like leopard print.
That is
gorgeous. My leopard came out for that judging.
I've got dress envy. I'm in my red for Valentine's.
Thank you.
I'm a bit late.
You're looking gorgeous.
I'm a bit late.
It's
darling.
Okay. Happy Valentine's to
thank
you.
Yeah, thank you, darling. Happy Valentine's to you.
Sending
well,
love.
Larissa, wish you so much luck with the show.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to hear the music. You've
Amazing.
Got to come in and perform for us.
I would love to.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'd
okay, my darling. Well, lovely to
Thank
speak
you for
with
having
you.
Me. Thank
Very
you.
Excited to have you in the studio.
Yeah.
And do you like a bit of Liam Payne?
Oh, yeah.
On the bedroom floor? I've done that before.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Baby, heard you've been talking about me lately. All your friends, how much you hate me.
But who you calling up when you get lonely? When you get lonely, yeah. You be saying real, real nice things when I'm touching you. You be getting real, real jealous when it wasn't you. Oh, and every now my iPhone rings. I be telling you, I told you. You said it was over. You said it was over. But your clothes say different on my bedroom floor. You said it was over. You said it was over. But your clothes say different on my bedroom floor. Up your dirty laundry. We always on and off until you're on me. Until you're on me, yeah. You be saying real, real nice things when I'm touching you. You be getting real, real jealous when it wasn't you. Oh, and every now my iPhone rings. I be telling you, I told you. You said it was over. You said it was over. Something different now. You wanna break up just to fix it now. Oh, baby. You said it was over. You said it was over. But you close say different on my bedroom floor. You said it was over.
It's over.
You said it was over.
It's over.
But you close say different on my bedroom floor.
Radio presents.
As an influencer, I think we really do have a responsibility to be accurately portraying what we look like in real life.
I totally agree. And can you imagine us growing up with Instagram?
It's an absolute minefield. And I can remember my parents being worried about MSN Messenger or there were all these horror stories about chat rooms. You had what?
A beeper.
You had a pager?
Yeah, the little like, oh, excuse me, who's
I
that?
I thought they were all for American drug dealers.
Well,
my spare time, Miss Cox.
Every Friday. Talk with Lydia Cox and Rachel from 5 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yes, you're listening to FUBAR Radio. I'm Lizzie Cundy. And what a night we've had. Wasn't Larissa Eddy gorgeous? Gorgeous girl. But we've got another gorgeous lady that is about to come to FUBAR. It is the one and only, the wonderful Anne Whittacombe. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, Anne, can I say, first of all, congratulations for your time in Celebrity Big Brother.
Thank you. I think I'm still recovering. But yeah.
We did meet in the green room afterwards. I don't know if you remember, on the final night, I was doing a little scene with Rylan and I saw you in the green room. But I, you were very entertaining.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you found me so. Yeah.
Now, what made you, though? I have to say, I was quite surprised when I saw who was going in and I saw your name. I mean, what made you want to do it?
Well, I wasn't certain that I did want to do it. I turned them down year after year. I mean, I've always said no to Big Brother. And then this year they said, well, it was going to be something different. It was in celebration of the Year of the Woman. It was going to involve more serious debates than usual. And after an awful lot of negotiation and discussion about what it might be like, I decided to give it a go because I knew that I could always walk out.
Yes. And you didn't walk out, though. You stayed to the very end.
Indeed, I did.
I mean, to get to the final, but came second, which is incredible.
Well, it amazed me. I mean, I was honestly expecting to be an early eviction. And I was saying to everybody when I was going in, oh, it's all right, you know, I'll be home within a fortnight at the very latest. So it was a great surprise to me as well.
I mean, how did you find it? I mean, you said yourself, I think you've said you're a bit of a, you can be a bit of a grumpy old woman. You've said.
Well, I was a grumpy old woman. Somehow, I think that's why people were voting for me. I was a grumpy old woman. And at night, when I knew that all the really bad behaviour was going to start, the swearing and the sexual stuff and the excessive drinking, that was when I just peeled off and went to bed. And Amanda also used to go to bed early. So did Jess, actually. She didn't much like late nights.
Yes.
So those of us who retired early used to have a natter in the dormitory and then go to sleep. And what was going on outside, we took no notice of.
And were you able to kind of zone out from that? Because you had the mad Andrews, who was a bit naughty and silly at times, and Courtney. Could you kind of zone out from what they were
up
to?
Well, largely, yes. Because, as I say, most of the stupidity and that sort of stuff was after dinner at night.
Mm.
I mean, occasionally they tried it on during the day, but to nothing like the same extent. The day was a rather different atmosphere. So, in fact, I managed, I mean, to get through to the end without having my ears assaulted too badly.
But you did have a sense of humour. You did make us laugh so much, Anne.
Well, I've still got one. It's okay. I didn't leave it behind in the house.
I'm glad you've got it. But, I mean, how do you think you learnt things from them? Because some things, you know, just the way, like when Courtney walked in, when she came into the house and her dress fell down in your face, I mean, it was quite an eye-opener.
Well, I mean, I accept the fact that was an accident, and it was an accident, but it didn't bode well, really. And I wasn't quite certain how the series was going to develop after that, but it was an accident. It's just one of those things.
Yes. And do you think the show, in a way, has opened your eyes in some ways of the way people are and their beliefs?
No. I mean, as I say to people, you know, I spent 23 years in Parliament. I had to deal with people from all walks of life with all manner of views. I'm quite used to meeting a whole range of different people. So, no, I mean, the Celebrity Big Brother didn't tell me anything I didn't know before. From time to time, the behaviour confirmed my worst fears, but as I say, I managed to miss most of it.
And do you feel, though, in some ways you can relate more from doing the show to the younger generation, just through, you know, having the chats with Courtney and, you know, and as
no,
as
I mean,
well.
You know, the supposition behind that question, which a lot of people ask, so it's not just you, but the supposition behind it is that somehow I wouldn't come into contact with the younger generation if I hadn't gone into the Brother House, or I wouldn't come into contact with transgenders, or I wouldn't come into contact with gays or drag artists. And, of course, all that is a complete nonsense. I come into contact with all those people through various activities. No. I mean, the simple answer is no. It didn't change anything, and I didn't meet anything that I hadn't met before. I mean, at times I despaired at the level of political ignorance, but, you know, I've encountered that before many times as well.
Yes. And do you think you've made any friends from it? I mean,
Yes. I mean, Amanda phoned up the other day. I think Amanda and I will keep in touch.
Yes. She was very protective of you, actually, Amanda. Have you watched back any of the show?
No, I have. I know exactly the incident you're referring to, but I haven't yet watched it back. I'm still waiting for the comprehensive DVD, and I shall start at the beginning, and probably in a year's time have finished it, because it was a very, very long business.
It was.
Yes, I'm friendly with Amanda. I already very slightly knew Rachel Johnson, and I'd met Wayne Sleep before. I think I'll stay friendly with them. But
yes.
Yeah,
no, and Maggie, because obviously there was a little bit when Maggie left because of you, in a way. Have you spoken since?
No, she took it very badly.
Yes.
And she shouldn't have done. It wasn't personal, but I had to have a criterion on which to decide, and my criterion was how people treated other people, not how they treated me, but how they treated other people. And I did not like the fact that she laughed when pain was being inflicted on the men. And in fact, I turned my head away during that experiment. I I wouldn't take part in it.
But I do think this year, I mean, this series of Celebrity Big Brother, and I've watched, I'm a big fan of the show, and was very different to others. I do think there were more conversations and about, you know, and politics, but I think that was due to you being in there. It was a very different show.
Well, I'm very relieved that you find it different if you've always watched it, because, of course, I've never watched it. And so, although I had a pretty good idea what it was like, because parts of it will always filter through to the main news, which, you know, which one's then seen. I hadn't watched it, and I didn't really know. I mean, at the end of it, I thought, well, I can't actually judge whether this has been different or not. But a lot of people have told me that it was.
It was incredibly different. But it was very interesting, and I think a lot of topics were talked about, and the transgender, and then we had India as well that went out in a bit of a first go. It was all.
Oh, she was in a huff.
She was in a little bit of a huff, but it may be being portrayed the wrong way. Do you think so? That's what she felt.
I didn't think she was portrayed in, well, I mean, I didn't see the edited excerpts. Let me say that right at the beginning. I didn't see the edited versions. But I don't think she was portrayed in a particularly a negative light. I think she herself caused the problem.
Yes. And it's,
I mean, she managed to row with everybody. She rowed with Amanda. She rowed with Genuine. You know, she acted as though she had a massive chip on her shoulder.
Right, yes. Well, it's very different when you're in there and you're living it 24/7 than us just watching the hour show, yeah. I'm sure. But I have to say, as you know, I love Strictly Come Dancing, and Anne, you were so good on that show. Now, you obviously had the time of your life doing that.
Yes, I did. I did. I loved Strictly Come Dancing. It was such a release as well, because, of course, I did it. I mean, yes. People tend to think it was 3 years ago. It was 7 years ago.
Wow.
I did it when I retired from Parliament. So having had 23 years of, you know, huge responsibility when anything you did could affect people, just to have that 3 months dancing on Strictly when I couldn't affect anybody for the worse, except possibly Anton Shin.
Yes, Anton Tebeck.
He was the only one who was ever going to suffer from my performances. Yeah.
And you stayed in 10 weeks, if I'm right. You did very well in that show.
Yes, 10 weeks out of 12.
Incredible.
I was getting worried.
Well, I think you did great comedy routines.
And yes, it was tremendous. And I wouldn't have minded lasting one more week, but I did not want to be in the final. I thought that would be a step too far.
A step too far for Anton, maybe. But what did you feel about Brendan Cole leaving? I mean, being sacked? Because obviously you would have known Brendan on the show.
I think they've made a big mistake, and I really do. Yes, he does backchat the judges. So what? You know, we need a bit of character. You don't want bland and meek responses all the time. He's been in the show from the start, so he knows it backwards. He's a very good teacher, that I can testify to, because he taught me one or two things while I was doing the show and explained some things that I couldn't understand. So I think they've made a mistake.
You think Brendan should stay in the show? He'll be missed. But I think it possibly they're saying the back chat he gave to the new judge, Shirley Ballas, went too far. But I don't know if you saw it.
Or... You know, I mean, if she objected to it, she should get a life, quite honestly.
Yeah. All right. Maybe you should be a judge, Shan. I think you would make a great judge.
I would be so scathing about the absence of clothes. I don't think they'd keep me there for long.
Now, I have to ask you, because it's been I've been on Good Morning Britain talking about this topic. What do you feel about the grid girls and also the girls that do the darts being removed from Formula One?
As I said on Big Brother, and I don't know what the edit showed, but as I said on Big Brother, I think we're losing our cheerfulness as a nation. You know, we take things so deadly seriously now. I cannot honestly see that if people want to be grid girls and you know, they're just walking on at the beginning of a match, I can't see what the problem is. I mean, it's not as if they haven't got any clothes on.
They're
more carefully clad than they are on Strictly.
That's true. I actually even think you wore some skimpier outfits than the good girls. That's right. Well, we do agree on that, Anne. And you know what? I have to say, you really made a difference in Celebrity Big Brother. I really enjoyed watching you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you made it through. And to second place is phenomenal. But I'm sure you're glad to be home.
I'm very glad to be home.
Yeah. Well, Anne, it's been lovely chatting to you. Thanks for chatting to
Thank
us on
you.
FUBA, and I hope to see you very, very soon.
Thanks.
Lots
Bye.
Of love.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Anne. Well, who would have thought Anne and I agree on the Grit Girls? Can you believe it? She likes them. Wow. She's with me on the protest. I can see it now. Might get her in one of those outfits. Right, well, we've got coming up, we've got our last guest. He's amazing, Daniel Wheeler. He's going to tell us how to get the perfect body.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. You got G like MC, you liked it on a easy B, you doesn't come for free, she's a real lady. And as for me, you'll see, slam your body down and wind it all around, slam your body down and wind it all around.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends, make it last forever, friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give, taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover,
if you want to be my lover. Well, it was Valentine's. Ooh. And I've got a very handsome man that's in the studio now. My word. We have Daniel Wheeler. Daniel, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Personal trainer with an amazing transformation. What do we do? Yeah. Please help us. Did you provide people with nutritional training and knowledge?
Essentially, yeah. I run a female fat loss company called the 80-20 Lifestyle Plan. And with that in mind, we help primarily women get in touch and try and transform their lifestyles.
And would you say stop the fad diet, stop looking at the weighing scales? Because unfortunately, I think we all do it a bit.
My background is fat loss, so I've lost 8 stone myself.
And 8 stone?
8 stone.
That's my whole body weight. That's a person.
That is a whole person, yeah. My wife weighs 8 stone, so I lost my wife.
Wow.
And during that transformation, the first part of me losing that weight, I didn't remember what I was doing. Like most people, I'd done all the fad diets. I'd done, can I name them? The Slimming World, the Weight Watchers, the 5-2s, yeah, the Herbalife, all the shit essentially. And I hate them. Like I despise them because they took advantage of me when I didn't know what I was doing. They took advantage of the fact that I was desperate, and they didn't work.
Were you always a big boy? Why were you that weight? Was it just indulging, or was it,
it was eating too much, essentially. But the reason behind it was emotional.
Right.
And that's kind of a huge part of what we take with 80-20 is understanding why we overeat. Mm. You know, obesity and becoming overweight is just eating too much. There's no denying that. But why? You know, why do we turn to food as a coping strategy? And what are the emotions behind that? What's the stress behind that?
What is it, though? Why do we like to eat? I do, when I have a hangover, I think, bacon, sarnie, and a nice bit of fried eggs and all the naughtiness, and it makes me feel better, but then afterwards I don't feel so great.
Well, the really interesting thing we have to understand is how the body works, right? So hormonally and emotionally, what's going on. And I think if you were to look at a square, and each corner was a part of the puzzle of weight loss. So you have hormones, habits, behaviours, emotions, and food. Everybody's focusing on the food. So everyone's thinking they need to restrict the food, starve the food, eat less. And they're not paying attention to the emotions, the habits, the behaviours, or the hormones, and how that all interlinks. So your emotions affect your food choices. So women's time of the month, you crave certain foods, right? And that's hormonally led. So those hormones change your emotions, which change your food choices, which change your habits and behaviours. And I think once you understand that...
So whole cycle of how you are. Yeah,
indeed.
Because, I my boys always say, Mum, you are... like getting a bit more emotional, and I think, am I too odd? It's usually a sign. Your body changes, I suppose,
massively,
as you go through.
And it's designed to, like evolution states, you know, it's a lovely cycle of how our hormones dictate how we're meant to survive, you know. So if we went through a period of famine or no food, certain hormones would change so that we return to body fat as a fuel more efficiently and survive. And I think once we start to understand how these hormones affect our emotions, we understand why we turn to food.
Wow.
And a lot of the time when people are overweight, they're just massively stressed.
Yeah, and I think... Now, I had a friend who was desperately trying to get pregnant, and the doctor said, what are you eating? And she said, what are we eating? Said, what do you mean, what am I eating? How will that affect me getting pregnant? But could that be a cause, what you eat?
Massively. I mean, like with that grid, you know, food affects our hormones. And this is kind of, you know, the phrase, we are what we eat. You know, I prefer the phrase, you are a reflection of your happiness. You know, and I find when people are overweight, I can almost pinpoint to the point where they're just unhappy. And if they're unhappy, they're likely to overeat. And I think that the whole recipe to fix the problem is to become happier, less stressed, and that changes our food choices.
But what about people that just love to eat? You know, that love
like
food. You know, and that get really... I mean, I won't say who I was went out with, and would get more excited about food than me. And I think I'd get jealous over, like, he'd get so excited about food. He'd be like, on a high. I'd be like, calm down. It's like food was everything. He'd like be like, what we're doing for dinner. And it would be in the morning. I think this is really... You know, so excited. It was obsessed.
Well, the really interesting thing there is that that's a behaviour and an emotion based on food, right? That excitement, that love for food. Let me ask you a question. You've got kids, right?
Yeah, I've got two boys.
When they were a baby, when what was the first thing you did when they started crying? Newborn baby crying. What would you usually do?
Well, I breastfed, so I did that.
Awesome. There we go. So you gave them breast milk.
Yeah.
Right. When they fell over as a kid and they hurt themselves, what did you typically do?
Give them something nice.
A sweet, something to take
the
mind off it. In the dentist, you get a sweet. In the doctors, you get a lollipop or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I do.
So the whole point here is from birth, we're ingrained that when we're unhappy, stressed, tired, or upset, have some food. So we've got this behaviour in mind.
You see, my mum used to always give me a cup of tea. Now, I constantly drink tea because if I feel
it's
a bit
comfort.
Funny, it's a comfort.
Absolutely.
I feel better. It's also, that's...
And
luckily,
that's
she didn't give me a tea sandwich, Joby.
Or bourbon. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be another story. But, wow, so I see that's how it works. You're programmed as a
human
child.
Human behaviour.
Interesting, Dan. I love it. So what would you say to people listening today that are on a diet? I mean, I was told to give up the carbs, to keep out off the bread, and just high protein.
Well, one of the things I really want to cover today was carbs, mainly for women, is women need carbs. And there's this whole, essentially what I teach to my members on 80-20 is women need carbs to reduce stress, improve sleep, and give them more energy. And if you think about the culture of dieting today, everyone's on a diet, right? We've all been there. We've all been in that cycle where everyone's dieting. Sunday comes, eat all the food. Monday morning, new diet. And if you combine that with the menstrual cycle, And every 28 days, things change and you get the cravings, you get lethargic, you know, you get these symptoms. And this idea that women need to remove carbs and remove calories at a time when their bodies are becoming so stressful, the it just makes no sense
to me.
Should
you not really give up the carbs? Is that a bad...
100% no. No, around the menstrual cycle, women need more calories and more carbs.
Oh, really?
Because it helps reduce stress, improve sleep and give them more energy.
And a lot of people sleep. I need that. I didn't sleep a wink last night. I won't say, I know it's Valentine's, but I really didn't. I didn't sleep last night. I was really awake. And I thought, what's wrong with me? I thought it was a full moon.
Well, a lot of people don't realise that carbohydrates have a relationship with a hormone called serotonin.
Oh.
And have you heard of serotonin?
Yeah.
That's the happy hormone that makes us feel good, right? And that has a direct link to another hormone called melatonin.
Yes.
Which is our sleep hormone.
Yes.
So if you eat carbohydrates, you increase serotonin and reduce stress and increase our ability to sleep.
So I need a bit
so
of
you
carbs,
need carbs
in my
before
life.
Bed.
You need carbs before bed?
Carbs after six, indeed.
I thought you'd say after something else.
Well, that as well.
Oh, my God. So this is a secret to the successes. And how did you come about this? And how did you do it for yourself?
Just science, essentially. So I'm a huge fan of science. I'm a geek when it comes to science. And understanding the psychology, the philosophy of how the human body changes, behaviours, habits and emotions with hormones, is an incredibly complex circle. But it's fascinating, and once I was able to discover how that all happened and apply it to the real world general public, I realized that everything that the human that society said about dieting was so far against how we're meant to behave and how we're meant to eat.
And do you feel that you losing that weight gave you more confidence in yourself and felt
massively
a better person?
Yeah, I came from a troubled upbringing from my parents, so that was my emotional struggle.
Right.
So I piled on the weight. I ate my emotions, essentially. So I gained the 8 stone and changed my lifestyle. That was the whole, and that was the fundamental thing that we installed on 80-20 is you need to change your lifestyle, not your diet. That's the difference. And I think if people are listening to this and they're struggling with their weight, is they need to address the elements in their lifestyle which are causing them stress, that cause them to turn to food. So if it's a loved one, if it's work, if it's families, if it whatever it may be, something is causing you
there's
stress.
There's a reason why.
Absolutely.
You're eating.
And if you fix the reason why, you don't turn to food.
And you have a challenge to appear on the front cover of Men's Fitness magazine. Is that correct?
I did, yeah.
And within 3 years, you did that.
I did, yeah. So I started losing the weight 2010, and then 2012, I appeared on the front cover.
Wow, what an achievement!
It was a bittersweet achievement. Actually, it was an amazing thing to do.
Yeah.
But they were editing my photo there and then on the fly to go on the cover. So they were making my pecs slightly bigger, my arms slightly bigger.
Is that what they do?
They do massively edit it. So it was a real shame because having lost all that weight, 8 stone, and then for them still not to be happy with it, they wanted to make it slightly better.
So do you kind of agree with that photoshopping? Do you think that itself can cause problems?
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, I mean the media are a huge influence in terms of insecurities and low self-esteem, and particularly magazines. You know, they really, really don't help.
Mm. That's interesting, but you look perfect to me.
You
look amazing. Likewise. You look incredible. I need you. And you're near me. You live near me.
Indeed. Well, if you're looking for some PT.
We do. And, I mean, what would you say as our final thought? As obviously, we've got to wrap the show up, but it's very interesting because everyone, I think, especially after Christmas, wants to look good.
Absolutely.
Summer's, you know, spring, summer's coming up. What can we do?
Well, I think the first thing, as I mentioned, is to establish what's causing you to turn to food. You know, that's the primary reason we overeat. That's the primary reason why we gain weight. And I think once we can address that and fix that, which is what we do on 80-20, then you can really start to change that lifestyle so that you never need to diet again. My biggest aim in life is to ensure that people never diet again. That's what I want to achieve in my lifetime.
No more diets.
No more diets. Get rid of diets. I hate diets.
Throw away the weighing scales.
Oh, mate, never weigh yourself. Why would a woman ever weigh herself?
Well,
it's terrible.
I won't again. Speaking to you. Well, thank you, my darling. Thank you so
thank
much
you
for
so
coming
much.
In. Where can people find you?
Check out the website www.the8020lifestyleplan.com or Instagram. The 80-20 lifestyle plan.
Wow, what an inspiration, Daniel. You're half the man you used to be, but you're fine. You're looking amazing.
Thank you
and
so much.
Thank you for coming into FUBAR.
Thank you for having me.
I will take
really
your tips.
It.
I promise you, I'll take your tips. So that is it from me, Lizzie Cundy, on this night. Gosh, I'm recovering from Valentine's, so I need to go and have a light down. Don't know about you. But, darlings, I'll see you next week. Make sure you tune in.